Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Joe Heschmeyer and Chris Check are our guests. That's the flannel panel. Chris, president of Catholic Answers. Joe, apologist and writer extraordinaire, also the podcaster behind Shameless Popery, which I went a whole hour without mentioning it. I apologize for that, Joe. It was a very popular podcast this year because it used to be a blog and then it became a podcast and now it's just exploding in popularity. You can find out about it at shamelessjoe.com or just get it wherever you get your podcasts, Shameless Popery. Welcome back, gentlemen.
I love Joe's podcast.
Thanks. Good to be back.
Do you?
Yeah.
Me too. All right. We said that.
You know, you were a little more convincing, Chris.
That sounded like a ringing endorsement. I kind of got stuck. I'm sorry. I got stuck between thoughts.
Well, I mean,
I love it, Joe. I love everything about you, Joe. You're the best.
There's a depth to it.
Yes. Right. But it's not, it's personable though. It's not like academic depth.
No, it's not. Engaging. It's not inaccessible.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But the truths of our faith do require some unpacking from time to time and some reflection. I mean, they're really limitless in the graces that they can provide. And Joe's just superb at that.
I believe I can help you explode in popularity on YouTube, however. It should be a thing that you wear that smoking jacket for every episode.
I'm so in favor.
I don't know why you're not wearing every episode. That should be your outfit right there.
In favor.
Or maybe just get a collection of smoking jackets in the liturgical colors. So you're wearing the appropriate liturgical
smoking jacket. This would be for martyrs.
Maybe we can work in some holiday-themed ones for secular holidays as well, like President's Day, smoking jacket, et cetera.
Is there an Abraham Lincoln joke in there somewhere? So I don't get.
No. I was just building on your idea. Right. You're overthinking this one.
I'll tell our friends in the development department they need to raise money to get Joe smoking jackets for his podcast.
That seems like a worthy thing to undertake. Juno,
the people who respond to that don't deserve to have money, so it'll be all right.
There's some people that don't deserve to have money, huh?
Someone's going to send a smoking jacket now.
I want to get to this.
Juno, please do.
Arocho Estevez, writer for our Sunday Visitor News, wrote an article on December 11th. For Catholics in Nicaragua, the year has been tragic on every level. Here's part of it. In Nicaragua, the days of public celebration, processions, and outward expressions of the faith are fast becoming a distant memory. As the Sandinista regime of President Daniel Ortega continues its brutal persecution of the Catholic Church. Ortega's crackdown on the Catholic Church began in April. By the way, if you're listening right now, how much have you heard about this? Really, how much have you heard? It's a brutal crackdown of the Catholic Church in a country like three countries away from us. And how much have you heard about it? Ortega's crackdown on the Catholic Church began in April of 2018 after deadly protests against his government-proposed reforms, which led to calls for his ouster. Hundreds were killed in the repression by the police and paramilitaries. Despite criticism, he turned the blame on the Catholic Church. Now I'm not quoting, I'm paraphrasing a paragraph, for inciting violence. According to the Associated Press, Ortega, who rules the country with his wife, Vice Presidente Rosario Murillo, accused the church of plotting a coup and labeled the country's priests as terrorists. Any thoughts so far, gentlemen?
It's been a really tragic chapter and a really tragic story.
Yeah.
The scandal, there are many scandals. One is how little it's been reported. I haven't heard about it on NPR. But what has the United States government done? What has the State Department done? What has our reaction been to this?
Right.
From a Catholic president. Joe Biden is.
It's stupefying the idea that nothing. All you have to do is draw attention to it.
I'm not sure.
Say one thing at a press conference, and it will become news. But partly, I think presidents just respond to the news. I think that's just a fact of presidents. The pretense is that they're making it, but they're mostly reactive. And the fact that there's almost complete incuriosity about this in the New York Times. I mean, they report on it. But it's not the big front page banner it would be if it were. And then I'm sorry, but I love playing the game if it were, because it points to people's biases. If this were transgender activists being jailed and thrown out of the country, where do you think this would be in the news reporting yeah. cycle?
Seriously. When Uganda had anti-LG education, laws a few years ago, it was international news everywhere, and, right. and reasonably so. Like, if people are picking on groups and using violence to kind of crack down, that is a worthy news story to cover. And so here it is, the silence is deafening and deadly.
The historical precedent here, of course, not far away is Mexico. The Mexican church made an effort to destroy the Catholic church, Mexican government made right. in the 28, 29, 30, and then into the 30s, depending on what state you're in. The war was called La Cristiada, and its heroes were the Cristeros. But the antagonist in the story, Plutarco Elias Caius, is doing the exact same things that Ortega is doing, confiscating church property, hospitals, episcopal residences, universities. I think a couple of Catholic universities have been shut down. And then the deportation of, starting with the foreign clergy, but now I think even, members of the episcopacy have left the country. And now clergy are being deported. Certainly foreign clergy are being deported. This is right out of the Mexican playbook from late 20s, early 30s.
But can I throw in another name that I think this is very much like? Henry VIII.
Oh, yeah.
yes. I mean, there's
destruction of the monasteries.
They're throwing nuns out. They're closing monasteries and convents. It has a vicious Henry VIII kind of feel.
Archbishop Cranmer said at the time when they were shutting down the monasteries and throwing the nuns out in the street, he said, we're going to turn them out into the world and let them find real work.
Yeah.
That was Cranmer's thought.
Yeah, and the thing is, what struck me about this, the introduction to this very fine bit of reporting in OSV is, this is a destruction. This is not just an attack on the church. This is an attempt to destroy Catholic culture. The description
yes.
that this author gave of the and let me give the author's name again, Juno Arocho Estevez. The description of the ending of processions and festivals and the feasts, this is Catholic culture. This is what we are as Catholic right. people. This is who the Nicaraguan people are. And that identity is being stripped from them by, I'm trying to think of the right word, and I'll run it by you, evil communist dictator. I don't know if that's too...
Masonic? Is Masonic in there as
I don't
well?
Know. That I don't know about. But,
but exactly the same thing with Mexico. The Catholic faith in the... This is hard for Americans, I think, to get their minds around, because the Catholic faith in the Latin American countries is bound up intimately in the identity of the people. So... As you mentioned festivals, it's the liturgical calendar that informs the annual life of the people of these countries in a way that it does not here in the United States. And it's hard for us to we're kind of caught up in this idea of separation of church and state. But in the foundation of all these Latin American colonies, there was no such concept in that regard at all.
Well, right. That's exactly right. And I think it might have been you that told me about Dana, the American sailor, when he came to.
Oh yeah,
can you tell that story?
Well, yeah. So Richard Henry Dana, for whom Dana Point is named, but he wrote that magnificent book that everybody should read, 2 years before the Mass. He was an interesting chap. He was studying law, and he realized he needed an experience that was going to make him a little more manly. And so he lives before the mast. That is,
no offense to lawyers, by the way.
he lives before the mast. That is, forward of the mast, where the seamen live, the yeah. common seamen. And he fights seasickness. And it's a magnificent book. But finally, coming up the coast of California, they make a stop just north of us in Capistrano. In fact. It's called now that area, that beach is Dana Point, and where the ship stopped. And it's over Easter. It's over Easter week. And every other ship in the harbor comes from an Italian town or a Portuguese town or Spanish town or something like that. And their sailors are all rowing in to go to the bullfights and the fandangos and the feasts in Capistrano. And the guys on, I forget the name of Dana's boat or ship rather, they're like picking barnacles and everything.
Yeah, right. We're working. Protestant like, work ethic.
Yeah. And he says, we're not getting any time off. And he says, I just don't think Catholicism is going to take off in or he says something like Catholicism will never take off in New England because, you know, you have to take off too much time for it.
And that is
and of course then the Irish come in, but
But now the communists have replaced that. I mean, they'll work you to death. They'll make society. They'll take all the fun out of society.
Another disappointment here, Cy, insofar as I know, and I'm happy to be corrected. The Holy See, Pope Francis did write a letter to the people of Nicaragua, but it was, you know, stay firm, and which of course you do want to hear from the Pope,
right?
But the Holy See is a sovereign nation. I feel as if we might be should be hearing more public and regular objection about the treatment of the church from the Holy See. Similarly, to like with the treatment of the journalist in Hong Kong who's in jail, that the Holy See seems sort of quiet about.
It does seem to me that if you had to
Jimmy, what's his name? Jimmy Lai,
yeah. In Hong Kong. Poor Jimmy Lai. Pray for Jimmy Lai
Catholic publisher.
Yeah, but it does seem to me that like in a general thing that there was this politics of engagement of John Paul II that followed on after the kind of real politic of
Ostpolitik
yes.
of the Vatican before that. It just seems to me that Francis has gone back to that,
yes.
which is the more traditional.
Ineffective?
It doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, you can have whatever. I'm just trying to categorize it. I think that there is a.
Yeah, I mean, it's the attempt of like, how do we soften some of our critiques of these bad actors so they'll hopefully let bishops and priests continue to do the life-saving
no
work that they're doing.
That this is a good idea. It doesn't work with children. It doesn't work with criminal governments.
Right. It's why we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah.
Or liturgists. And I just want to read you like very fine report from Juno Orocho Estevez in OSV News. I encourage
Juno
you to read
or
it.
Juno?
Well, okay.
I don't know. I'm
sure
sorry,
that it's Juno just in Spanish. Yes, but
okay. Fair enough.
I was reading it in English.
You convincingly sold 2/3 of his name or her name.
All right, I'm moving on.
Okay, sorry.
What's he smoking?
All right, I'll pronounce Nicaragua. Okay, so
that's very NPR of you.
Thank you. I just want to read like this guy. What's his name? Ortega. It's petty. It's not just malicious and like it's petty. And so in November, the regime expelled another bishop, Bishop Carlos Enrique Herrera. President of the Nicaraguan Bishops Conference, Bishop Herrera was forced to leave the country after he accused a local Sandinista mayor of sacrilege for blaring loud music outside the cathedral while Mass was being prayed on November 10th. It was just idiotic, childish, stupid. Like,
right.
What do you? And then when you speak up about it, they throw you out of the country if you're a bishop. So here's my proposal. I think Catholics should ask more of the Trump administration and hold their feet to the fire a little bit on this. And I believe in holding politicians' feet to the fire. I don't care how popular they are or how much you like them or hate them, whatever. Hold their feet to the fire. And he should meet with these Nicaraguan bishops that have been thrown out of the country, and he should prioritize this, get it into the news.
That's a great idea, Si. And you can offer your Friday abstinence for the people of Nicaragua as well.
Yeah, since we're not having meat. So all of us Catholic Answers listeners are not having meat on Fridays in the coming year, if you've chosen to join that. But we have the vice president, the incoming vice president, the vice president-elect, is a Catholic. Write him. Put some heat into this. I mean, tell him, I expect this of you, especially if you voted for him. Even if you didn't vote for him, you're the president of the United States. This is nonsense. You got the French Revolution going on 71 miles. I think it's 71 miles from San Diego. Could we get some attention on this?
I mean, it seems, I don't want to put it in too political of terms, but it seems like a win-win politically. Like, you can actually do some good on the ground there. And if you're a Catholic vice president, say, or a conservative president, the fact that you can highlight this brutal dictator who's an outspoken Bernie Sanders supporter, I don't know, seems like a good chance to be like, look, maybe some of these nice-seeming policies the other side is proposing have never worked out well in reality, and that these Latin American countries that, in the case of Bernie Sanders, he's sometimes highlighted as places that seem like they've got some good ideas, are engaged in these horrible crackdowns with a nasty, small-minded communist dictator.
All right. There's your assignment. Write a letter. Send an email. Call him if you know J.D. Vance. I know about 50% of our listeners know J.D. Vance personally, so call him. We'll be right back with more of the news of the year from a Catholic perspective with the Flannel Panel on Catholic Answers Live.
Your questions, Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Turn to Mary, the Mother of God, for help bearing witness to the gift of life with the National Life Rosary. Designed exclusively for EWTN, the unique centerpiece and crucifix represent the reality that all life is sacred and begins at conception. Help build a culture of life with the National Life Rosary. Available now at EWTNRC.com. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Welcome back to the big year-end show here on Catholic Answers Live. Joe Heschmeyer, Chris Check with us. It's the Flannel Panel, and it's time for another guessing game where they get to guess what did our listeners vote on the following things. So these are the big news stories of the year. We'll do the big Catholic stories after we do the big secular stories of the year. And all we did was ask people who took the survey, how much did you follow this one? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you follow this story? So you two have to tell me how much you followed it and then how much our listeners followed it. And we'll keep score on this. Right now, Chris is ahead. Chris is ahead 6 to 5. I got to write that down. 6 to 5. Okay, so we're on we go. You guys ready? The big news stories of the year? All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much? 1 is being not at all, 10 being with burning interest. How much did you follow? The first one was the U.S. presidential election.
Oh, 9.5.
9.5 for you?
Wait, oh, how much did I or 10? Our listeners?
No, no. First, you guys. How much did you follow?
Oh, 6.
About a 6?
I'm going to put myself at a 7. I followed it more than I wanted to.
I followed it like at 11. I didn't want to, but especially in the last few months of it, I followed it at like 11.
Well, you're
I knew all
you're
the stuff.
In media.
No, this was just obsessive stupidity on my part. I followed it. I think it was 11 that I followed it.
I want to make a brief case against following that stuff.
Look at me.
Because I think some people are going to hear this and think, what are you guys talking about? You followed it too much. This is so important. The president's the most important person in the world and blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
It didn't change your vote. I mean, people listening right now who followed very closely, you were going to vote for who you were going to vote for. You didn't change it. You spent hours and hours and hours getting information you didn't need to reinforce a decision you'd already made.
Yeah.
And agitated
yourself in the process with
right.
whatever the latest.
Lost your peace
nutty,
over things that
yep.
weren't going to happen.
Yep. Yep.
Either, you know, hear all the horrors of Kamala Harris presidency that didn't come to fruition, or hear all the horrors of Project 2025 that's not a real thing. So, you know, like either way, you probably lost a decent amount of peace worrying about a future that wasn't going to happen. When you could have been spending that time more fruitfully in any number of other ways. And
listening
this is the person who can
popery.
Be guilty of this.
Both of you are speaking directly to me. Like, this is going directly into my heart. Your words are going directly. Because I overdid it. All right. What did our listeners do? And there are fractions or percentages, decimal points.
Decimals.
In this. So I beg your pardon. So, you know, they chose anything from 1 to 10, but then it averages out. So... how much did our listeners follow the U.S. presidential election on a scale of 1 to 10, Joe?
Well, I've got to go first again. I'm going to say 9.
9 for Joe?
I'll say 9.1.
It is Joe. It was 8.5. Oh. So Joe got that one.
Good listeners.
All right. Inflation and economic uncertainty.
These numbers 2023 numbers, or have they grown?
No, 2024. I see what you're saying. Inflation. He made an inflation joke. Did you enjoy that? Neither of us.
After you explained it to me.
You know what? Where I think you missed is you did it in one language. Try to do it bilingually next time. Yeah. Half in Italian, half in English. Your jokes are better that way. Inflation and economic uncertainty. How much did you follow it, Chris?
Four.
Yeah.
I mean, if having to pay more at the store counts as following it, then something. But I would periodically check and be like, oh, that's the rate. Okay, we're going to keep renting. I'm going to say three.
I'm with you guys. I'm right between the two of you. I think a 3.5. It's just not, I mean, this is one where I felt like I can't do anything about it.
Right.
So, right. All right, what did our listeners do? Chris, you're first.
5.5.
5.5. Joe?
I'll do 5.
6.9. Chris got it. Chris got it.
Maybe they've got assets.
Ukraine war.
They've got assets. Affected by.
You've got assets, Joe. You're bilingual. The Ukraine war. How much did people? No. How much did you follow it?
3.
I'm gonna say 5. I wanted to say a little higher, but I mean the truth is it fell out of the headlines, but every few weeks I'd be like, I should check on how things are going.
Yeah.
And I'd type in Ukraine war and I'd read and be like, this is bleak. And then I would repeat the cycle a couple weeks later.
Yeah. I think I was more like a 6. Again, I'm not proud of myself. I'm just saying. I think I was more like a 6.
I think it's worth, you know, like the political horse race, the day-by-day stuff doesn't matter. You know, what was the scandal of this week that's going to be forgotten 5 months before the election? That doesn't actually, like, that literally does not matter at all. If it doesn't change voter opinions, it doesn't, you know, maybe there's a very small cumulative effect if someone has 30 scandals, but it never does. But on the other hand, with the war, it's like people are actually dying, and that's worth being aware of. So I don't feel as bad about someone who spends their time finding out about the real consequential stuff. I think the political horse race in the U.S. has become spectator sport as much as it has anything else. We could do short elections the way they do in most other places, but we choose to do these long, heavily publicized events that feel more like bread and circuses than they do like actual political deliberation. So, I mean, because you have this like 2-year cycle and no one ever articulates a carefully nuanced policy on anything.
Chris?
Joe's point that people are dying and even the people who are not dying, there are many people who are suffering as a consequence of this war is well taken, and we shouldn't forget that. It is getting a level of attention because something that you need in a democracy is another to hate. And so right now, among others, maybe he's still the principal one, it's Mr. Putin and the Russians. And we have to have somebody to hate because that's what, you know, the media decides will unite us, instead of, for example, someone to love like Jesus Christ. But so I think there's an exaggerated focus on this. I am hopeful or optimistic, I'll even say, that Trump is going to find a way to wrap this thing up.
Well, I have to say, my only take on this is I am old enough now that I am tired of the annual war to save civilization. It seems like every year for the last 25 years, we've had the media pumping, we have to fight this war. You have to fund this war. Yeah. You have to blow these people up. None of them turned out to be actual saving of civilization. I'm tired of it. We're not saving civilization. You're blowing civilizations up. I'm sick of the warmongers in the media, and I'm ready for an end to it.
Can I footnote here? Russia is not going to invade Poland. They are not going to. They can't invade
Saddam
Poland.
Saddam didn't have weapons of mass destruction. You could go down the list of the annual war to save civilization. It never turns out that it actually saved civilization. Yeah. It kills. I mean, how many millions have to die before we say to CNN, you know what, this year we're not going to do your war. Whatever war you're pushing this year, CNN. I mean, it's going to be Syria. They're going to be pushing for the U.S. to get in there. I guarantee you in 2025, CNN will be actively pushing for the moral absolute necessity of getting into Syria. Well, I'm done. We're enough saving civilization. Too many people are dying.
Aren't we already? I mean, we're funding the people in Syria.
We're funding people on both sides right now.
That's good. I'm glad we're doing that.
It's U.S.-backed militias fighting U.S.-backed militias. And eventually somebody's going to win, and they're almost certainly going to be bad.
All right, so
I would even go so far as to say probably worse than the Assad regime, which was very bad.
There is a war that I have been paying attention to.
Well, that's next. Got to finish this one because I know you. All right. So the Ukraine war, how much did our listeners pay attention to it on a scale of 1 to 10?
6.3.
Joe?
7.
It's 5.7. Chris is closer.
All right.
Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran war.
For me, that's got to be an 8.
An 8 for Chris?
Yeah.
I'm going to say a 6 as well. I'm like a 5. I've followed that less than I followed the Ukraine war. It's hard keeping up with all of the conflicts.
Chris, go ahead. You want to say
the obvious.
I'm so sorry. I didn't do the clock well, Chris. Can you? You want to do it now?
I'll
or
just
you
say
wait?
Now. The obvious and grave injustice that's underway. I can't look away from it. I'm glad the Pope has said something. I'm glad Amnesty International has said something. I'm glad the country of South Africa has said something.
We'll come right back. We'll find out what others said about the war in Israel right after this on Catholic Answers Live. What was the church like in its infancy? In a word, Catholic. And Joe Heschmeyer has the receipts. In his best-selling book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, he gives you the details from the historical records of the first 2 centuries of Christianity. Right now, get a copy for just $10, plus free shipping if you live in the continental United States. Get more information and order The Early Church Was the Catholic Church at theearlychurchwascatholic.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Is the Catholic faith still a rock amidst the waves of history? Why does it so often seem to be a mess? In his latest book, Confusion in the Kingdom, best-selling author Trent Horn helps you to get to the roots of the present chaos, explaining the destabilizing movements within Catholicism and exposing the harm and scandal progressive Catholicism has caused. Order your copy of Confusion in the Kingdom today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Is Orthodoxy an alternative to the Catholic Church? In a time of uncertainty for many Catholics, Orthodoxy can look like greener pastures. Answering Orthodoxy, the new book from Catholic Answers Press, explains why Catholics who are thinking of leaving need to think twice. There are important reasons to remain in the Catholic Church and convincing answers to Orthodox claims. Order your copy of Answering Orthodoxy today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Chris Check, Joe Heschmeyer here. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. It's a flannel panel year, the big year-end show. And we're getting short of time, and I feel bad about that. But we have to get to Catholic Podcast of the Year and Catholic Person of the Year. It has to be done today. It cannot be postponed. So
Father Mike Schmitz has not received his annual accolades from Catholic Answers.
We can't add an hour.
All right, so I forget
where
I was.
Would this show still work like 3 months from now if we want to come back to it?
Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran war. Chris followed it an 8. Joe followed it like maybe a 5. I think.
Yeah, I didn't follow it as closely. It's super depressing.
Also, I honestly often feel completely baffled. Like, I don't know. I really don't know like who the players are, where they are.
Well, I can explain where they are. They're in a very small,
tiny little box. Yeah,
place called
like the
Gaza,
size of Massachusetts?
And they're trapped there while they're being starved.
Right.
Well, women, but, children, civilians are being starved.
Yeah, but that's not the whole thing. I mean, there's the Hezbollah side of it. There's the Iran side of it. There's the Egypt side of it.
To be sure.
I mean, Egypt is just pathetic in the way Egypt is behaving. They will not help the people of Gaza. So I know, and I'm not excusing anybody else, but it's horrific. They have a border with them. They close the border and will not assist.
Yes.
Are we? I don't know.
They're complicit in the starvation.
But that's so many people. Like Iran is Iran doesn't care how
the
many
United
of these
States
people
of
die.
America.
The U.S. is complicit in this. It's it's just the, and I cannot imagine what it is. So I do end up feeling frustrated. Like, I don't get any of this. And so maybe that's evil of me. I don't know. But
what did our listeners?
And look what happened to the Israelis on October 7th. That's a huge horror. Like, I even forgot to mention that. And I don't forget about that. But it's so many horrors, one after the other.
So I'm glad you brought that up, Si, because this raises one of the chief difficulties of having an honest and cool or cool-headed conversation about this thing. Because if you say there are women and children being starved in Gaza, it also means that you support setting up a tent city in the academic quadrangle of Columbia University and being a
Jew hater.
Or, exactly. Or that you're anti-Semitic or something of this nature. Or that you think the events of October 7th were, justified or whatever. No one is saying that. No one reasonable is saying anything like that.
No one on this show is saying that.
Yes, right.
Other places, maybe.
This is so contentious because of the peoples and the religions involved that it is very, very difficult to have a level-headed and accurate conversation where you could, for example, talk about what's proportionate. What's a proportionate response to the events of October 7th? Because the response now is disproportionate.
Well, that's the thing is.
That's in Catholic. So that's in Catholic teaching.
That's at the core of Catholic teaching about jus in bello.
I'm less optimistic about Trump on this one than I am about Trump on Ukraine. But where did our listeners fall? I'm going to say 7.2.
Joe? Take longer. It's radio. Take
long, silent pauses.
Silence is great.
I'll say 7.
Joe won that one. It was 6.5.
Oh.
Huh. That deliberation paid off. That
which is not an overwhelming level of
interest.
Of interest. All right, let's do the... So the big story of the year then, if you add it all up, was the U.S. presidential election. I don't think that there's any doubt about that. That was the big story of the year. I mean, including...
Yeah, not just in the United States.
Including a couple of at least two assassination attempts that I know of. I don't know. I feel like we'll find out about some more later or something. Debates of various levels of unbelievableness on both sides. Wild stuff.
Complete misrepresentation of the polling data on the Democratic side, from months preceding.
Right.
Yeah, they just lied about the polling data.
Yeah, but when you have the election and you go, oh, that doesn't look anything like the polls. That's weird. Okay, so let's do the big Catholic stories of the year, though, because I'm running low on time, and I apologize for that. So how much did you pay attention to these stories on a scale of 1 to 10? Let's start with the Notre Dame cathedral reopening. That's a big Catholic story. How much did you pay attention to it?
7.
I haven't watched the reopening Vespers, so I feel like I can't give myself a 10. I'll say 7.
All right.
I want to recommend a video of from Our Lady of Guadalupe from December 12th at the Notre Dame Cathedral of the mariachis in the sanctuary singing a song to Our Lady. It is the most moving thing. And you know,
in the sanctuary of Our Lady of Guadalupe?
No.
Oh.
On the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Notre Dame in the restored Paris
beautiful.
Cathedral on the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's so beautiful and it reminds me of that quote from Chesterton or whomever that Joe has used about the Catholic Church, here comes everybody. I remember being in...
James Joyce, I believe.
I remember being in Santa Pudenziana, which is the Filipino church in Rome, early, 5th century paleo-Christian church, And it is now the Filipino church in Rome. And you go in there on a Saturday afternoon, evening, and it's the guitars and Tagalog. Or Tagalog.
I can't pronounce foreign languages, Joe says.
And it's full of Filipinos worshiping God. And you think, in this old Roman church where St. Peter, you know, probably offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass in the home of Senator Putin's. And you think, this is it. This is the Church Universal. So beautiful. And that's exactly the feeling I had. So find that video, my friends, of the mariachis in the sanctuary at
I'm going to find that.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, there's something very beautiful about it. I remember serving Christmas Mass in Oslo, Norway, alongside a Nicaraguan and Filipino and Norwegian altar server and thinking, this is the universal church. You don't see this in any other context.
No.
All right, how did our listeners go on that one?
Notre Dame, I'm going to say 6.5.
I might go 8.
It was 5.7.
Come on, listeners. That was so much easier to follow than a war.
So much easier to follow. And good for France. Good for France for getting it done.
$1 billion or whatever.
And not doing any of the crazy redesigns. Well, Speaking of the false alarm, there were a lot of horrible proposals.
No, they did it right.
The actual church looks good.
It's stunning.
I don't like the altar.
Everyone's talking about the altar.
The altar is terrible. And the ambo.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
And the vestments. Yeah. But okay. Other than that.
All right.
The jelly. The all right, jelly
I need to ask you guys to have shorter takes now. I just got to have a quicker takes. Synod on synodality. How much did you follow it on a scale of 1 to 10?
3.
How much zero unacceptable answer.
Really? Zero, Joe? Wow. I mean, that's unacceptable answer.
I want to get a synod on synodality.
Well, no, one is not at all. One is
what's going on.
Okay.
I read a few articles, maybe like a 3.
I said a 3.
All right.
I do work for a Catholic media apostolate.
Yeah. I didn't really follow it, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think there was much as much reporting on it because the Pope took all the controversial stuff off, and then everybody's like, okay, whatever. So it became normal. It stopped being big news.
Right.
I think the Pope did that himself. I think he did it on purpose. What did our listeners say? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much did they follow the synod on synodality?
3.5.
Joe, could you take longer on these? Good Lord.
I said 4. I said it right away. Did you hear me? Oh.
Did I not hear it? We didn't hear it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was 4.1. Joe got that one.
I was like waiting for you.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry, Joe. We didn't hear it in here.
I think we said it at the same time.
So all right. How much did you follow the following story on a scale of 1 to 10? It's one of the big Catholic stories of the year. Eucharistic Congress. How much did you follow it?
I was there. I'm going to say
10.
9.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, 9. Okay. Yeah. Joe's a 9.
I don't know. 7.5 for me. We did send a team.
I feel bad. It was only about a 6 for me. I should have done more. I heard that, and I have not found it yet. I heard that Monsignor Mark Shea other than Jesus, of course, was the star of the show.
James Shea.
What did I say? Mark. I said Mark. Okay.
Mark Shea.
That's a different Catholic. But Monsignor James Shea. Yeah.
From the University of Mary.
But I have not heard it yet. I still have not found it to hear it. So,
also,
what did our listeners think?
Hat tip to the Bishop of.
Cousins. Bishop Cousins, who organized the
whole thing. Who, by the way, is a Catholic Answers Live listener.
And
he
was a guest.
He listens on his drive home, which he said is 1.6 miles. So I think he probably already.
He's probably listening
now.
I would also like to say the best Catholic bishop in America is Bishop Cousins. Yeah. Now that I found out he's a listener. what did our listeners think on a scale of 1 to 10? How much did they listen to? How much
7.
Did they?
6.5.
Chris did it again. It was 6.2.
Nice.
All right.
I don't even want to know the story.
Another of the
point.
Biggest Catholic stories of the year. How much did you pay attention to this, Chris and Joe? One of the biggest Catholic stories of the year, Father Justin, AI priest.
10.
Yeah.
You both did 10?
Oh, definitely a 10. I followed all of those stories. It was great.
I complain about CNN all the time. They did the best report on this.
They were so gracious.
They were fantastic on this. They nailed it. Good job, CNN.
You know, a show in which Chris praises Amnesty International, Cy praises CNN unironically, and there's a pot shot at OSV News. This is not the show that I think you were expecting.
Okay, clarification on OSV News. The young lady who interviewed me on the Father Justin story gave a very good interview and gave a very excellent account. I can't recall her name, but it's on there. There was a principal at OSV, who said that Father Justin was blasphemous.
It's not blasphemous.
It isn't blasphemous.
Get over it.
It was just a ridiculous thing to say. And this man who said it knows that he better.
All right. How did our listeners pay attention to this? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much did they pay attention to the story of Father Justin AI priest.
7.
I was going to say 7, but I guess I'll go 6.
2.8. They couldn't care
we
less.
We might have an in-house bias of caring about this story too much.
That was Joe got that one. Yeah, I kind of suspected that.
You know,
whiny people on Twitter are not real.
Yeah.
And stop paying attention to them.
John Sorensen and I, as a consequence of our foray into AI, were invited to a conference at the Pontifical Academy of Sciences on AI in October.
And if we had more time, I really wanted to talk about that. And I apologize, but I did not
have me on sometime.
I'll have you on the show sometime. I'll do that, Chris. Oppression of the church in Nicaragua on a scale of 1 to 10. How much did you follow it?
8.
I followed it not very much at all. I'm going to say 3.
I'm going to go with 5. How about our listeners? Joe, what do you think our listeners said? Scale of 1 to 10. 2?
3.
4.1. Chris got that one.
They're lying.
Yeah. By the way, God bless J.D. Flynn and his colleagues.
They did
the
a great
pillar.
Job. Yeah. In addition, I should have said that. Yep. Pope's travels to Singapore, Indonesia, various other. Why am I forgetting the name of the little country that he – Timor, East Timor. One of the best Catholic stories of the year. How much did you follow that trip?
2.
6. I got a lot of questions about it.
All right. I probably
because
was.
Because that's the one where he talked about the different religions.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that
was 4
right.
And a half.
Okay. Okay.
Our
so
listeners on a scale of 1
answer.
To 10. How did our listeners
I'm gonna
do?
I'm going to say 5.
I'm going to say 4.
Joe, it was a 3.5. Joe got that one.
God, we're trading these.
Notice that our...
you've got the lead, so swapping is in your favor.
Our listeners really don't care about Father Justin or the Pope. That's just really low on those. I have to say...
Pope Justin, that was an idea
we never thought of that. I will just say this. 50% of the country of East Timor attended Mass with the Pope. A single Mass
that's
50% of the country. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of the world.
If it happened in the U.S., the church would literally collapse. That'd be a lot of people to try to fit in one place.
That would. Right. I don't even know if we have space for half the population of America. Do we? I don't know how that works. I'm not good at math. All right, on we go. The last...
That is amazing.
I chose this as one of the big Catholic stories of the year. This was my choice, so don't fuss at me. Kansas City Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker commencement address. How much did you follow it?
10.
10.
I read every possible
you
story.
Read everything
this was up. At the precise intersection of every interest I have.
Again, because of where I work, I'm going to say maybe a 6.
I think I was a 6 too on it. How much did our listeners do? Chris?
6.5.
6.5. Joe?
7.
5.5. Chris got that one.
I think
Chris got that one. That brings us to the break. Coming up, what were the big stories of the year? What was the big Catholic? Who was the Catholic person of the year? And a new category, what was the Catholic podcast of the year? It's going to be a lightning round because I got a lot of material to get to in a short time. But I'm not regretting that we spent so much time talking about Nicaragua. I feel like my conscience is a little bit clearer because we did. Right back with more with the Flannel Panel on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
This is Monsignor Arthur Calkins. I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to speak on a Catholic radio station, which is so necessary for all of us to strengthen our faith. This is a great task of evangelization, and we thank God that Catholic radio is available in order to do so.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your poor timekeeping host, or bad at timekeeping host. We got a super important stuff to get to. The entire Catholic world is waiting to find out Who will be named by Catholic Answers listeners as the Catholic Person of the Year? Who will be named, or what will be named as Catholic Podcast of the Year? We've also got Catholic Word of the Year and Big News Story of the Year. People get to choose what they thought was the most important or the biggest, however they categorize it, the biggest news story of the year. What do you choose for the biggest news story of the year, each of you?
Oh, I don't.
You can go first.
Oh, I don't have any idea. Oh, the biggest news story of the year?
Yeah.
From my perspective, or just
What was the biggest
objectively
from your perspective?
Oh, I don't.
Father Justin.
I don't.
Father Justin AI. Yeah. Joe, do you have a?
Are people going to say something like the election?
Anything. It could be literally anything.
Okay.
Is it size, new hairstyle?
It is not. That did not make it.
I am honestly coming up short, because I think the things that people talked about, synod and synodality and everything else, did kind of peter out.
No, I'm talking about big Catholic news story of the year. The biggest news story of the year.
Big news story of anything.
Yeah, of anything on earth.
Well, it was the American presidential election.
It was by a long shot the American presidential election. I included anything that had that name Trump on it in that, like somebody shot Trump or Trump, right. Whatever. I included that. It was five times bigger than any other story.
Well, Time Magazine thought so.
Did they? Oh, they named him Man of the Year, huh? Yeah. Trump Man of the Year.
Well, when do you lose an election and then come back?
The last one was Grover Cleveland.
Grover Cleveland,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
22nd and 24th president?
Yeah. Better as the 22nd. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I don't know anything about Grover Cleveland.
He had a child bride, right?
The number two biggest story of the year was the National Eucharistic Congress, and there was not a number three. Everything else was so low that it statistically couldn't even make it. So the election dominated the year. I have to say, I'll get each of your take on this. 2024 went better than I expected it to. I realized that a lot of bad stuff happened. But I was prepared for utter disaster this year. I spent the whole year ready for utter disaster, and it did not materialize.
Why were you worried about utter disaster?
I thought the election was going to be tied. Like, I just thought there was going to be riots in the streets.
I
thought somebody might use a nuke somewhere, because there kept being wars everywhere. And
let me be a little bit optimistic then. I think people are feeling less crazy than they were feeling a few years ago. Like, one thing I think we undervalue is people were cooped up in their house with COVID and were thinking they were dying. I mean, leave aside whether they should have been worried about that or not. They were worried about that. Then they were cooped up in their house, and then it was like a tinderbox. And so people were getting really upset, and they were spending way too much time online. This is a recipe for disaster.
Right.
I mean, you see it on a small scale with like incels, you know, people who spend too much time at home on the internet when they should be outside. And then we did that to the entire country, and we were just like, oh, this is what it looks like for an entire country or world to just go completely deranged. And I think as people have emerged, they've sort of sheepishly pretended that didn't happen.
And gone back to
being human
beings.
And so the craziness of like 4 years ago, we just kind of moved past it. And craziness in any number of ways. And so I think the nuttiness is not on the ascendancy right now. It's seemingly on the decline.
I'm so happy to hear that. I'm going to have to leave that as the take for this,
yeah,
Chris.
Okay.
I apologize, because I got to go to Catholic Word of the Year. That's a new category, Catholic Word of the Year. What was the Catholic Word of the Year 2024?
Synodality.
Chris?
Eucharist.
It was Eucharist.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Word of the Year?
Wait a minute. Wait, do I
Catholic Word of the Year? Because we had the Eucharistic Congress.
Do I get a point?
All right.
Do I get a point? I get a point for
no,
that?
No, I don't think we're doing points for this one. Sorry, Chris. You already won 12 to 10. Okay, I forgot to say it. Chris won 12 to 10. Look, you're getting a standing ovation. Oh, no, never mind. They're all just sitting ignoring us. I thought I get confused between standing ovation and everyone just sitting and ignoring us. Eucharist was one. Synod on Synodality was two. And sacraments.
Okay, I'll take my silver medal there.
Sacraments was a distant three. I guess
it's like second place in tennis, Joe.
It's pretty close.
Yeah,
to second place.
You
in
still
tennis.
End up with love.
All right, here comes the two categories everyone's been waiting for. First, Catholic Podcast of the Year.
Council of Trent.
Jimmy Akin's The Serious World.
Neither of
no,
those.
No, I'm going to go Bible in a Year, actually. I'm going to say Bible in a Year still wins.
Nope.
Matt Frad.
All right, Matt Fradd, at least we're in the ballpark. Matt Fradd is third. Oh, wow. No. I'm sorry. It's hard to tell because I count it. I apologize to Matt Fradd for this because he should probably get the third place sticker. But Father Mike Schmitz, people did Bible/catechism in a year, catechism in a year. And I just, if you put them all together, he's slightly ahead of Pints with Aquinas for
third place.
Yeah,
more like Matt
place.
Fraud. I love Matt Fradd.
That's mean. So I don't know what you guys make the call. Who gets third place?
I think Father Mike Schmitz gets it.
The fact that he has two
successful podcasts should not count against him.
Yeah, but this is what bothers me. Somebody wrote catechism in a year, parentheses, sorry, sigh, close parentheses. Why do people think I'm against Father Mike Schmitz? I have never said a word against...
You know what?
Against...
Just as a peace offering, you should have him on the show.
No.
What I'm really doing is getting a very good guest on your show.
I know. We try to get him on the show. He's very busy. All right. So I'm going to go.
He's probably upset that you don't like him.
I'm going to go. Oh, my goodness. Father Mike Schmitz is third. All right. So I put him over.
Wow.
Matt Fradd is fourth. Number two. They knew who was going to be on the show. Shameless Popery came in number two. You beat all the other guys. Now,
that's
Jimmy has two different podcasts, so that's part of why you beat Jimmy. But Shameless Popery, they knew you were going to be on the show. But also, people love you. Also, you voted 8 times. So congratulations on that. By the way, neither Chris nor Joe voted at all. Shameless Popery, get it at shamelessjoe.com. Number one.
Council of Trent.
This is amazing because the question is posed from Catholic Answers. Catholic Answers won. People they chose Catholic Answers Live as the number one. But it's so.
This is like when you give people a poll about whether they like answering polls, and you're like, amazingly, 100% of people like answering.
I feel like that is so cheating. We should have said other than. The people who are currently asking you this question.
You know, most of the people who listen to the show.
That's not going to count.
I think probably do listen to it in its podcast form.
I appreciate people saying that, but I also feel like that was a little bit cheesy. And I feel like that moves Matt Fradd into third place. Congratulations, Matt Fradd.
You can probably bump me, too, from the list for the same reason. But either way.
No, I think they had to go.
So Trent didn't get any love at all?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy, Trent, everybody got something named Loop Podcast that I've never heard of. People should look at that, apparently. Catholic Stuff You Should Know. Council of Trent got a bunch.
I get the Loop.
Jimmy Akin
email.
Got a bunch.
It has a podcast?
You get the what?
The Loop email.
Clock is ticking.
We have to do Person of the Year. Catholic Person of the Year. Why don't you tell me who your Catholic Person of the Year is?
Cy Kellett.
Luce. Father Justin.
All three of those. That's funny, but this is the problem. Father Justin, apparently not a person. And so
he's at pains to tell people.
He's a lay person.
They covered that at the conference that they went to in the Vatican.
All right. It's a tie for Catholic Person of the Year. We got so many. Pope Francis made the list. Sister Josephine Garrett made the list. Bishop Corleone made the list. Bishop Barron made the list. Bishop Snyder, Bishop Cousins, Bishop Strickland, or former Bishop Strickland, Father David Moses, Patrick
Madrid. He's still
Madrid.
A bishop,
I'm just
right?
giving you people who made the list. We didn't prompt people
Strickland
on
Strickland is still a bishop,
yes,
right?
That's
he's
right.
Just not
no, former ordinary.
He doesn't have a
right.
C. Yeah.
Al Cresta got votes. I was really glad that Al Cresta got votes.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Matt Walsh. You know who Matt Walsh is, right? How to Be a Lady or something? Or
he's a comedian.
What is
very,
a woman?
Some,
what is
very
a woman?
Close.
I knew. I was in the ballpark.
How to Be a Lady.
However, there is so little, like people just didn't agree on this at all. So the two people who are tied for the winner, it doesn't count. It doesn't matter. None of this matter. Harrison Butker got votes. Jonathan Rumi got votes. Melania Trump, Jordan Peterson. I don't even think he's Catholic.
He's not.
Did I say Harrison Butker?
His wife is.
All right. Here's the tie. Tying for Catholic Person of the Year, Vice President J.D. Vance and Father Mike Schmitz.
Both, wow. There you go.
Both with almost barely a lead on all the other people I just mentioned, but they did it.
Both bearded I just want to throw that out
there.
Wait,
Father Mike Schmitz is wearing a beard now?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Is he?
I don't know. He shaves sometimes, but I think he's got one in his latest videos.
Get it together, Father Mike. It makes you look like a criminal. Stop wearing a beard. I don't know why people think I have anything against Father Mike Schmitz. I think he's the greatest. But no, I'm going to say something serious about Father Mike Schmitz, and I will add this to Father, to not Father, but to J.D. Vance. Would you please pray for Father Mike Schmitz? This guy is the most famous Catholic priest in the world now, other than Pope Francis.
Yeah, priesthood and celebrity are a bad combination.
People constantly tell me that he's like one of the handsomest people in the world. He's brilliant.
Good cover.
He's good. And the devil must hate him. So right now, say a prayer for Father Mike Schmitz. Not because
Amen.
I hate him. I love him. I don't know why people think I have a thing against Father Mike Schmitz. I don't know where that came from. Chris Check, you've done an awful good job this year.
Merry Christmas.
I'm going to get you a Luce doll.
Oh, sweet.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Thank you.
And to Joe.
Joe Heschmeyer, you've done a lot
Merry
of work
Christmas
this year.
Merry Christmas to you both. And a shout-out to Minnesota, which has Baron Schmitz and Bishop Cousins.
Wow. Nice going, Minnesota. Get something else right, will you? Oh, no. Sorry about that. I apologize. See you next year on Catholic Answers Live.